It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Westwood One Sports presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm going
to
say something now that some may take as a hot take, and I don't really care because I know that I'm right.
A show so staggeringly awesome and unapologetically original, you won't know what hit you.
Do you ever just get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia?
Featuring the man himself, Nick Kostos.
For anyone else, he's exaggerating. He's prisoner of the moment. First off, shut up. This is the National Football League. This is not the Big 12. It's not Pop Warner. An absolute disgrace. An atrocity. An affront. One of the most disgraceful performances that I have ever seen in 35 years watching National Football League football.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, wonderful Football Wednesday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports. As we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And on this Wednesday, this wonderful Wednesday, the world of sports is buzzing. And we're going to get to all the big stories, including the one NFL head coaching candidate, the one above them all, that absolutely needs to get a job this cycle. And if he doesn't, it will be a miscarriage of justice. Who is that coach? And why do I feel so strongly about it? I will explain coming up later in the show. And look, it might be a wonderful Football Wednesday, but last night, Tuesday night, in the association, the NBA. Oh, we had a newsworthy night in the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder, as the kids would say, got their lick back against the San Antonio Spurs. Are the Thunder hashtag back? I have a strong opinion on that I can't wait to share with you. And this burgeoning rivalry with Wemby and Chet Holmgren, we will talk about that. And wait until you, the listener, you, the viewer, wait until you hear, if you haven't already, wait until you hear what Giannis Antetokounmpo said and did to the home crowd last night in Milwaukee as the Bucks got blown out by the Anthony Edwards-less Minnesota Timberwolves. That has me feeling like he's got 3 weeks left, potentially, as a Milwaukee Buck. A very, very newsy night in the NBA. We will get to the big stories. Three tremendous guests will join us over the course of this Wednesday on You Better You Bet. Danny Parkins, first things first on Fox Sports 1, who's sitting in the first row with his orange Chicago Bears robe on Saturday night for Bears Packers. Watched his Bears win an electric game against their hated rival. Danny will join us to talk Bears, Rams, and the rest of the comings and goings in the National Football League. Man, I've gotten a ton of tweets, a ton of messages. Where is the whale capper, Drew Dinsick? You Better You Bet favorite. And if you've never heard whale before, you've never seen whale before, if you're new to this show, thank you very much for joining us in our new time slot on this new network. You are going to love the information provided by our friend Drew Dinsick, who returns to You Better You Bet next hour, talking the NFL playoffs, talking the NBA. Drew's best bets coming up for the divisional round of the NFL postseason. And in the final hour, in the power hour, my buddy, Adam Lefko from Turner Sports, who, in my estimation, is going to go down as one of, if not the, best studio hosts in the history of sports television. The great Adam Lefko will join us in the final hour of the show to talk the NFL playoffs, talk some NBA, talk some college basketball, where he anchors Turner's college basketball coverage. Adam Lefko will join us in the final hour of the show today. all my bets for the night in sports, also in the final hour, in the power hour. I've got at least one bet in the NBA. Oh, and I love my bet tonight in college basketball. And I'll just tell you, it emanates from the Big Ten. We have one sole home on YouTube now. YouTube.com/@thecostos. YouTube.com/@THEKOSTOS. We urge you to subscribe there. We're going to have tons of YouTube content, YouTube exclusive content. YouTube.com/@thecostos to watch the show on YouTube. Subscribe there. Like and comment. I will be in the comments during the show today. Again, YouTube.com/@thecostos. And the phone number to chime in today, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. We officially begin Wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better, You Bet with the biggest news in the world of sports as Mike Tomlin steps down yesterday as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers after a 19-year run in the Steel City. And what a run it was. Famously, zero losing seasons for Mike Tomlin in nearly two decades in charge of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The winner of Super Bowl 43 and an appearance in Super Bowl 45. And this feels like the rare instance in sports where everybody wins. Well, everybody except for one person wins as a result of this move. We will talk about that one person coming up later this hour. But this is like the opposite of the REM song, Everybody Hurts. Instead, this is everybody wins sometimes. And let's start with the man himself, Coach Mike Tomlin. It was time. It was time for this to happen. And you, the listener, you, the viewer, you can certainly make the case that it's been time. That it's been time for a couple years for this to happen. And look, I don't think anybody would have batted an eyelash. Now, we could have disagreed with it, but I don't think anyone's going nuclear, right? Like, if the Eagles had brought back Kevin Petula, which they didn't, we'll get to that later in the show, people would have absolutely lost their freaking minds if Kevin Petula had come back. Like, that's a no-brainer. That's a non-negotiable. Now, whether or not you would disagree with Mike Tomlin coming back for 2026, I don't think anyone would have gone nuclear as a result of Mike Tomlin coming back. I actually felt like that's what was going to happen, that Mike Tomlin would return as Steelers head coach. He has earned that equity where, whether you agree or disagree with it, no one's going to blow their top and lose their mind if Mike Tomlin comes back. But with that being said, it's time. And I think it's been time. And you can say that maybe it was time after the Steelers lost at home in the 2020 wild card round on Sunday Night Football to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. I personally think that the cleanest break would have been when they lost and got blown out and doubled up by the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2021 wild card round at Arrowhead, 42-21, in what was Ben Roethlisberger's final game in the National Football League, where Ben rides off into the sunset and Mike Tomlin departs as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This, with Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is like a romantic relationship, right? That didn't go sour. There's no acrimony. There was no cheating. No lying. No yelling. No bad blood. Just like a couple, and maybe you've been in this scenario in your life, you know someone that's been in this scenario in your life, like Dave Mason sang, there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys, there's only you and me, and we just disagree. Great song. Tomlin and the Steelers are like a couple that gradually fell out of love, that drifted apart. That quote-unquote, and I've heard this one before in relationships in my life, wanted different things. They tried to make it work, and there is nobility in that effort. In my estimation, you can disagree with that or agree with that. That's my opinion. There's nobility in the effort. But we have reached a point We reached a point where this was absolutely necessary. And it was the right time. For Mike Tomlin, he got to go out on his own terms. Now, we talk about sports on this show, right? But I often think that sports are like an allegory for life, right? Like the life experience, the human experience. So we can extend this out from sports to life. How many people in life get to go out on their own terms? Like, we've all lived long enough to see it one way or another, right? It feels like it doesn't happen that often. To ride into a sunset, not the sunset like the permanent sunset, but to ride into a sunset on your own terms. And he has left in Pittsburgh the hero. And like the saying goes, you either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And make no bones about it, and this was reported yesterday, right? One of the reasons why Mike Tomlin might have wanted to no longer coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was slowly becoming the villain. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And we don't have to go back that long ago in time to know that this is true. November 30th, at home against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills roll into Pittsburgh and absolutely paced the Steelers in that game and run it down their throats, and the offense can't do anything. And if you recall, this was not that long ago. Today is January 14th. Last November 30th, the fans in Pittsburgh were chanting, "Fire Tomlin." The fans in Pittsburgh were booing Renegade, which is a great song. You should never stick. That's a great song, man. Oh, Mom, you should never, ever, ever boo Renegade. So instead of fully becoming the villain and turning into like Pittsburgh's version of the Joker, Mike Tomlin leaves the hero. And he also departs from what had become a vicious, vicious cycle. And not like a cycle of acrimony, but one that fed into what is both an uncomfortable and incontrovertible truth. You cannot question it. You can dislike it, but you can't question it. And that truth is that the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin could not win. They couldn't win. And now Mike Tomlin's out of that cycle. In life, we talk about cycles as our lives go on, right? Breaking the cycle as you get older in life, whatever that cycle is. The cycle that Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers have been in is far less dramatic than some of those. But from a football perspective, it's as dramatic and important as it gets. Their cycle is the cycle of 9-8. The cycle of 10-7. The cycle of the 7 seed or the 4 seed that gets their ass handed to them on a silver platter in round number one, like the Houston Texans did on Monday night in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. The cycle of scraping and clawing and scratching into the wild card rounds only to get absolutely eviscerated and obliterated and dominated and embarrassed. Embarrassed. And you can make the case, and you'd be right, that Mike Tomlin is as big a culprit of this cycle as anyone else in the Pittsburgh Steelers universe. Because in football, as in life, it takes two to tango. So yeah, like, it's Tomlin and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers that have fed into the cycle. And just to say this, because my daughter is the center of my universe, Tango, who's Elmo's dog, is her current favorite character in Sesame Street. She loves Tango. Tango wasn't even a thing when I was a kid. Now it's like, let's give Elmo a dog. Tango's the name of the dog. My daughter loves Tango. I just wanted to say that. And if you don't like that I said it, I don't know what to tell you, because I like to talk about my daughter here on the show. So Mike Tomlin now, maybe he takes a year off. Maybe he goes to do television, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And when the time comes, if he so chooses, and remember, you know, I think a lot of people think Mike Tomlin's going back to coaching at some point. Like, we thought the same about Bill Cowher. And Bill Cowher never went back. So maybe Mike Tomlin does TV and he's like, you know what? I just want to do this forever. Possible, right? We'll see. But whatever Mike Tomlin decides to do, he has won. He has broken and left the cycle of 9-8 and 10-7 in Pittsburgh. And he will either be paid handsomely to talk about football on television, or go and choose the next head coaching job he wants, probably one with a young established quarterback. He is a huge winner in all of this. A huge winner. And maybe now, in his next job, if he takes one, maybe the cycle can be one of 12-5 or 13-4, which was never happening in Pittsburgh with this iteration of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that takes us to the Steelers. Because if it takes two to tango, the Steelers organization is the other dance partner here, along with Tomlin, that has led them to this cycle of 9-8, the cycle of 10-7, which is basically the equivalent of football purgatory. Not good enough to ever seriously contend to win a Super Bowl championship, but never bad enough to bottom out and you'll replenish the roster or get a young stud quarterback. They have been in football purgatory for a long-ass time. Certainly, you can argue in the last decade, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been in the football wilderness, where, you know, you can make the case it would have served them well to have gone 2-15 one season, as opposed to 9-8, or 8-8, or 9-7, or 9-6-1, etc. The Pittsburgh Steelers can no longer be a team that tries to do this, that tries to win when you can't win, because there are degrees to winning. They need to break the cycle right now. Football and sports, like life, and I don't think I'm the most wise person in the world, but I think I've, you know, 42 years old, I think I've done decently for myself, I think I'm a pretty good guy. Try to give young people advice. Life is not checkers. Life is chess. And in life and sports, like in chess, you can strategically and purposefully have a step backwards because you know that a couple moves down the board, you can have checkmate. You can win the game or put yourself in a greater position to win the game. Life is not just what's in front of you, and let me hit this here. Let's go to the playoffs again next year. Let's go 9-8. Let's go 10-7. Let's compete. Let's compete for the division championship. No. Maybe you take a step back so that you can checkmate, that you can win the Super Bowl in 3 years, which they can't do right now on the path that they are on. They absolutely can't do it. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's a lot's going to be made of this, right? This is the best. I actually don't think it's as good a coaching vacancy as Baltimore. Baltimore has Lamar Jackson. The Steelers don't have a quarterback right now. And let me be clear on this. So much is made of the Steelers and the Rooney family and all the stability that they've had over four decades now with Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. The only three coaches, right? In the Super Bowl era, three coaches. And they've all won championships, all three of them. Chuck Knoll had Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Famer. Cowher didn't win until he had Ben Roethlisberger, and I know it's been in year two, but look at what he developed into, and they went 15-1 his rookie year, right? Mike Tomlin didn't draft Ben Roethlisberger, he inherited Ben and won a Super Bowl. And this is not to imply that Knoll, Cowher, and Tomlin aren't great coaches. It's not. I mean, but did Bill Cowher win a Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell? Or Tommy Maddox? Or Cordell Stewart? Or did it take Ben Roethlisberger to get him over the hump? You need a quarterback. So yeah, like, do the Steelers need to get it right in terms of the head coach? Of course they do, obviously. But what's more important is that they get it right at quarterback. And you couldn't go into this offseason with Mike Tomlin, given that Tomlin and this regime have picked Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Mason Rudolph, even Duck Hodges. You can't have this. You need some new blood and a new voice to pick a new quarterback to send this team into a new generation and a new cycle. A cycle that at least provides you with the chance to win a Lombardi Trophy, which is the point of all of this, especially for that organization. And it's a chance that they haven't had in the last decade under Mike Tomlin. We're just getting started here on this wonderful Football Wednesday. On the other side, there's one other group, one other facet of all of this that wins as a result of Mike Tomlin resigning as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to tell you who it is coming up next, and you, the listener, and you, the viewer, are going to absolutely love it. And there is also a loser that we have to discuss. One loser above all else. I'll tell you who it is and why. Coming up next, You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports with Nick Kostos, presented by BetMGM.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And for good measure, it's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't, and it's a touchdown, Texans.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call on Monday night. Oh, man. Well, you know, we'll start with the positive. All my Christian Kirk bets were amazing. Looked like Jerry Rice in that game on Monday night. As far as my Pittsburgh Steelers bets, as a famous philosopher once said, not my best work. Danny Parkins, First Things First on Fox Sports 1, will join us about 10 minutes from now. Very much look forward to that. The whale capper, Drew Dinsick, returns to You Better You Bet to start next hour. Comments are flooding in on YouTube, youtube.com/@thekostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. Follow the show there, youtube.com/@thekostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. And if you want to call and chime in on Mike Tomlin and why I think everybody won in this Tomlin stepping down, or if you think I'm wrong, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. The last group that wins as a result of Mike Tomlin stepping down yesterday, and I think you're all going to agree with me here. Like, this is one where sometimes I'll give a take and I'm like, I know I'm right, but you know, people can disagree. That's okay. I don't know if anyone's going to disagree with this. The last group of people that wins as a result of Mike Tomlin stepping down as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, us. You and me. Why? Because we, and like, this is where sometimes I'll say, you know, I'll talk about soccer on the show sometimes. I don't know how many people in the audience care about soccer. I feel confident in saying that 100% of the audience of this show, 100%, are football fans who watch football on television. And if you're a football fan and you watch football on television, we think Mike Tomlin's going to television, right? Like, I have been told by people, I'm not reporting anything, it's not 100%, but it's out there as well. I got told also, I'm not trying to break any news, but just saying, I think this is going to happen, that Mike Tomlin's going to Fox. I don't know what role he's going to be in, but that Mike Tomlin will be on TV next season. And if that's true, all of our viewing experiences just got that much better watching the NFL on TV. We have talked about for years, not just us on this show, anybody that watches football, how entertaining Mike Tomlin is. And all the Tomlinisms, excuses are the tools of the incompetent. The standard is the standard. When asked if Tyler Loop had missed the field goal, you know, last Sunday night in the final regular season game, you know, if my aunt had, you know, man parts, she'd be my uncle. He's got unbelievable lines, right? And he obviously has a great wit and great football knowledge and charisma out the wazoo. Now we get to watch him on television. And with some guy, I would say with the vast majority of people, you never know how it's going to actually go on television. Like, some of you may be too young to remember, when Joe Montana retired, he got a job with NBC, like to be an analyst, right? And he was terrible. He was awful to the point that he left, that it didn't work. Everyone thought Montana would be awesome. It's not to say he was not one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He was bad at TV. Drew Brees in his first go-around wasn't that good. Took some time, and now he's back, and I hope it goes great for Drew Brees. Tony Romo seemed like he was John Madden in year one. And now it feels like he should be calling ACC games on ESPN The Ocho. Mike Tomlin feels like this is, how could he possibly be bad? How in the world is Mike Tomlin not going to be aces on television immediately? And that's awesome for us because we all watch the NFL on TV. A little later in the show, I'll talk about what I think the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do moving forward to kind of get themselves out of the cycle of 9-8, the cycle of 10-7, and get themselves back to a championship position moving forward. But last note for this hour on this topic for me before Danny Parkins joins us next. There's one big loser as a result of all of this. And that loser, and I'm sure that a lot of you have been able to guess who it is Aaron Rodgers. If Mike Tomlin had chosen to return, Mike Tomlin's coming back for 2026. There's at least what? Like a 50% chance Aaron Rodgers is back also? As the cycle of 9-8, the cycle of 10-7 perpetuates, right? Where we need to compete. Like, we can't bottom out. We can't be bad. We have to be good. So let's bring back 43-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He turns 43 next year. 50% chance Rodgers is back if Rodgers even wanted to come back. Now, it feels like he's done. Who is coming to coach the Pittsburgh Steelers that will say to the Rooneys and say to Omar Khan, I want Aaron Rodgers to be my quarterback in 2026? It's not happening. Like, 0% of candidates will say that. Zero will say that. And if that's true, can you, the listener, you, the viewer, think of a team that will sign Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback next season? Does that team exist? I say no. I have said for a long time on this show, I like Aaron Rodgers. And I'm never going to try and convince anyone that doesn't like him that they should like him. I like him. I find him entertaining. And he's one of the best quarterbacks of my lifetime and of the Super Bowl era, indisputably. You cannot argue against that. I don't think we're going to have to eulogize the head coaching career of Mike Tomlin anytime soon. My guess is he'll be back in coaching, but maybe he goes the Cowher route. We'll see. We won't have to eulogize Mike Tomlin's coaching career anytime soon, in my estimation. But I think Mike Tomlin stepping down as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers means that we are probably months away, maybe less, from eulogizing the NFL career of one of the all-time greats. How in the world is Aaron Rodgers on an NFL roster in 2026? He is the one sole loser as a result of this news. Mike Tomlin stepping down as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll take a quick break, and on the other side, our friend Danny Parkins, first things first on Fox Sports 1, joins to talk Tomlin, talk Ravens, and talk the divisional round of the postseason, including his Chicago Bears, on Westwood One Sports.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Soldier Field. Hearts beating furiously. It's Draft! Love looking. One last gasp. Moving guys around. Fires to the end zone. And it is broken up. The Bears win it. And a crazy one.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Look, if you're betting on the NBA this season, something that'll take the pressure off your picks, the NBA No Sweat Token. You don't need to sweat if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app today and please gamble responsibly. Al Michaels with the call Saturday night on Amazon Prime. Just a couple notes on that call for a moment. Al brought his fastball on Saturday night. That was one of the best games Al Michaels has called in years. He was sensational. And you can hear how loud the crowd was at Soldier Field during that final play. And it's almost drowning Al Michaels out. What a viewing experience it was. And what an experience we had in the last few minutes in the break where we couldn't get Danny's audio right, his microphone wasn't right. And at the end, with like 10 seconds to spare, Danny, like his quarterback, Caleb Williams, coming through in the clutch. Are you the new Iceman? Danny Parkins joins us on the show, first things first on Fox Sports 1. Welcome to the show, my friend. Congratulations on your Bears.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm a fourth quarter player. I'm clutch. I'm always going to deliver. when it matters most. That was a spectacular sporting event to be at live. Like, it was just like the stars lined. Like, it's on a Saturday. I can fly in Saturday morning, fly back Sunday morning, not miss any of the other games, go to Bears Packers, first row behind the Bears bench, like literally in line with where Caleb Williams sits on the bench. I was like over his shoulder with my nephew, then was able to get some extra tickets and bring some lifelong friends. It was a truly special thing. I'm not a very religious person, but I said that was like a sports religious experience. It was great.
Listen, I've said for a long time, have I? Sports could cure atheism. I'm not so sure that's true. So aside from just like from that, right, the Bears winning at the end, it's an all-time sporting event to be at, not just for you. If you're a lifelong Bears fan, period, to be at that game with everything that went into it, exercising some of the demons in green and gold with the Green Bay Packers. Kind of take us through it, right? From the first half to the second half, it looked like they were dead, and then they weren't, and then they win. Take us through the fan experience during the totality of the game.
Man, listen, the tailgate is rocking, right? And everyone's doing like Green Bay sucks chants because Green Bay sucks chants will break out at Blackhawks games or at Cubs games. Like that's like our love language in Chicago. And then we go in and we want to get into the game because getting into Soldier Field's a train wreck and we have awesome seats. So we want to get in early and we're in early and it becomes a snow globe. Like it's just like the flurries and the snow and all the stuff that you saw on social media that they showed on the broadcast. It was like, oh my God, this is.
And by the way, it was you, by the way, I feel like it was your tweets. I'm not just saying this because you're on the show right now. Like it was your tweets that kind of went viral on Saturday night, right? With it being a snow globe prior to the game starting.
Yeah, well, because the broadcast wasn't on. No one was, you know, people were still locked into Rams-Panthers. Like, we were watching that on our phone from the stands, but we wanted to be in for warm-ups, again, because of the quality of our seats. So, yeah, like, I think I probably was, like, the first person to let people know, like, oh, my God, this looks like we could have a snow game. Then the Bears and Packers get into, like, a beef at midfield. And I'm right there, and I footage that and put it out, again, because people weren't watching yet. And so it was like, okay, this is, like, a heavyweight fight. Right, like this is just like you have the scene, the drop back, the stakes, the animosity, the whole thing, and then Jordan Love just comes out and curb stomps the Bears in the first half, and I think the lowest I got in any of those videos was like this is a disaster because there was so much built into it. But I will say when McManus missed the field goal at the end of the second quarter and the Bears are down 21-3, I'm not going to say like I called the comeback, but we were talking about like. All right, Packers get the ball to start the third quarter. Get a stop, and then let's see if Caleb can do his magic. Because there had been 6 fourth quarter comebacks already. Like, and Costas, I know this is weird, but like just not thinking the game was over when the Bears were down 21-3 was such a win. Like just having like, oh, we have a coach and a quarterback who conceptually could do this. I was at the Andrew Luck comeback against the Chiefs when it was the 28-point comeback, which at the time was the largest playoff.
48-45 on Wild Card Weekend, yep, following the 13 season.
Right, when Jamal Charles gets the concussion, Andrew Luck fumbles, recovers it, takes it into the end zone. Like I was, I've been at a game with a bigger comeback, the biggest playoff comeback, the whole thing. So we're talking about it. Then things just kind of, it wasn't even like a perfect storm. The Bears weren't perfect in the second half, certainly not in the third quarter, but it just started happening and the defense got better and Jacobs couldn't run anymore. And then when you give up the touchdown and you're down 27-16 and they miss the extra point, even in that spot, you're like, okay, not 2 touchdown game. Touchdown, 2-point conversion, stop, field goal. And Caleb's throw, I'm at the 48-yard line. He makes that throw from like the 32.
The Odunze throw on 4th and 8.
Yeah, but he's rolling.
Like a top 10 throw of all time, I think, in that spot.
Correct. But he's rolling towards the Bears bench. So he's rolling towards me, but I'm like, I have to look to my right to see Caleb because it gets in the middle of where my viewing area. So I'm looking to the right to see Caleb. And when he makes the throw, my periphery, I was like, no one's there. And then you turn to your left and you go, oh, it's got the distance. Odunze is there. And he catches it and we go ballistic. But I was like almost surprised. Like, I felt like it was going to be the type of thing that I was going to have to make the argument for the degree of difficulty of the throw. But like in the moment, you know, they're down 11 and it's not a touchdown. So I'm like, well, if they lose, that throw is going to be lost to history. But then obviously everything that happens. Zacchaeus, the 2-point conversion, getting the ball back, the unbelievable throw to DJ Moore on the great play call from Ben Johnson. And we're walking out of the stadium chanting Green Bay sucks again, talking about the throw to Odunze. Like, I wonder if people are going to remember the throw to Odunze, like, because we haven't seen the highlights. We've got no cell service. And then by the time we get back to the spot, people are saying it's the greatest throw in the history of football. I'm like, oh, my God, the Bears quarterback has the best throw in the history of football. They just had this comeback. Like, it was so incredible at exercising of demons. And then you find out that, like, we're chanting Green Bay sucks, but Ben Johnson said F the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, he took, like, an East Coast Yankees Red Sox level of, like, cursing and injected into our Midwest nice rivalry, something I've been waiting for my entire life. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, by far the best, like, Bears game I've ever been to, the most enjoyable Bears win of my life. Top 5 sporting event that I've ever attended. Like, it was unbelievable. It really was.
I wasn't going to go here with the Ben Johnson stuff until you mentioned it. And I was actually surprised by how many people were, like, offended by, and I'm not even talking like Dick Vitale. It's like, whatever.
People are idiots.
Is this like, and what I'd like for you to explain to the national audience, right? Because maybe it's because I'm from New York and I'm like, I think this is awesome. Like, oh, I love it. Is this just like Midwestern, like people from the Midwest are just kinder and like we shouldn't do that? Like, where does the blowback, the pushback come from here? I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, listen, I think most Chicagoans did like it. But yeah, I think there is some Midwest nice to it. You know, I always say, like, Chicago is we're the third biggest city. But in, like, the meanness or the competitiveness of sports fans, there's New York, Philly, and Boston. And then Chicago's like the team captain of everybody else. Like, we've got, like, a tough media, but we are slower to boo than New York, Philly, and Boston. Like, we are, like, again, Green Bay sucks, not F the Packers. You know, like, we.
Right, yeah.
I think that's, like, a really good way of describing the difference. So I think there's some of that. But one of, like, my, like, bedrock principles in doing what we do is less hate in the world, more hate in sports. Trash talk is good, but it's good. Hating your opponent, having rivalries, being cold, bulletin board material, pregame jawing, the occasional penalty, postgame press conferences, like, that generates interest and drama. Like, it's okay. This is professional sports. And people are like, well, think of the children. If you're going to emulate, you know, they're going to do the bat flips in Little League. Well, then parents better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is professional sports. And so it is incredible that the Bears don't like the Packers now and their coach is willing to say it. But also, the last thing on this rivalry specifically, like, is Ben Johnson, when he defended it on Monday, he was like, I talked to George McCaskey, the owner of the Bears, and he's like, we're on the same page. People do need to understand, like, the Packers have no owners. The fans own the team. And the Bears are owned by fans. Virginia McCaskey, who just passed away, was George Halas's daughter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not a tech billionaire. This is not a finance bro. These are just people. They're just Bears fans who are descendants of George Halas, who hate their rival, who are owned by fans. So it's a very unique rivalry in that way. And it's good if they don't like each other, because they've also never been good at the same time. And I know you wanted to talk about other things and I'm going off on a tangent here.
Oh, it's great.
Better or worse is for other people to describe. Like, Ravens Steelers has been a more competitive rivalry. Yankees Red Sox is more famous. But Bears Packers is the oldest rivalry in football, and the teams historically are never good at the same time. So that was the 213th time they had ever played each other, only the third time in the playoffs, the 2010 NFC Championship game, and when George Halas played Curly Lambeau in 1941, and then this game on Saturday. So, like, it was special, and I love that there's some real animosity there.
And I would just say, if anyone disagrees with that, just think about it like this. Let's just say, you know, I'm making this up, right? Bears-Packers is the week one Sunday Night Football game next season, and Matt LaFleur is back in Green Bay. Even if he's not, how much more juice there is in the proceedings now to a rivalry that's already historic? How much more fun it's going to be moving forward now with Ben Johnson having poked the bear? I love it.
No doubt.
You better you bet on this Wednesday. Danny Parkin's our guest. First things first on Fox Sports 1. Catch him today, national TV, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. There's so much to do. I guess we should probably talk about Bears-Rams coming up on Sunday, where it's going to be freezing, and the Bears are home underdogs. What do you think, Danny, we will see in the Bears and the Rams?
Listen, I mean, Matt Stafford could throw for 6,000 yards in this game. Like, that maybe is a little high, but, like, legitimately, I think the playoff record is in play. The Bears secondary is not good. Jalen Johnson is playing, but clearly is not 100%. Kyler Gordon, as mentioned on the broadcast a million times, finally came back and played and was trailing all game. Like, the Bears don't really generate a pass rush. Did better in the second half, but the Bears are going to need to win a shootout. The hope is that Caleb and Ben Johnson are equipped to win a shootout. I think they are. The Rams defense has been bad since week 11, basically allowing about 28 a game. And you mentioned the cold. Like, I was at the game in 2018 when the Rams came to Soldier Field and it was freezing and the Bears
famous
won.
Game. Vic Fangio, like, broke the Sean McVay offense for the first time and gave Bill Belichick the blueprint to do it in the Super Bowl.
Exactly right. And the Bears won 15-6. And the cold there was a factor. So, like, older quarterback, not mobile, sub-zero temperatures. Like, the Bears offensive line, I know for a fact, is not pleased with how they played in the run game against the Packers. They expected to have much more success on the ground against Green Bay than they did. I expect Ben Johnson to try to do that again against the Rams. Yes, to keep Matt Stafford on the sideline, but to just make everybody a little uncomfortable and miserable with how cold it is. And maybe a little bit of gamesmanship again. Maybe those heaters on the sideline for the Rams go out again. You know, maybe have those malfunction again.
We only have like 90 seconds left here. I really wanted to tweak you a little bit on Justin Herbert. He was really bad. He was terrible. But I love the emotion of sports, right? And being sports fans. And I would say to everyone listening or watching the show right now, even if you're not a Bears fan, like, I get goosebumps in moments like this, and I'm not a Bears fan. So when Kenny plays coming back from break, the final play, and Jordan Love scrambling around, and when that ball's in the air, the knowledge that this is going one of two ways, and there is going to be finality here, like, it is going to end one way or another in short order. I think this, I have like the chills right now, just as a sports fan, even if I'm not a Bear, and I bet the Packers in the game, and I lost my bet on the game, right? You take us through and about...
You abandoned them.
I did. I abandoned the Bears, and I abandoned the Packers, because screw them, and fire Matt LaFleur. I actually don't think they should. Take me through, 30 to 45 seconds, we're running out of time, the emotions that you felt as Jordan Love is scrambling and that ball's in the air on the final play.
I mean, it was an eternity. It was like the play lasted like 6.5 seconds, and it felt like 6.5 hours. Listen, I mean, I have my nephew to my left. My dad's family is from Wisconsin, so he's a Packer fan. And then I'm with all Bears fans, and one of my lifelong friends is to my right. And I'm just like, I like grabbed both of their forearms. It was like you were bracing yourself if you were a nervous flyer on an airplane during turbulence, and they were my armrests. Like, I'm just like squeezing there. And then, like, the ball drops. There's no flag. I turn to my nephew and just give him like a little playful shove. He's the one who has to film me for the content because, you know, you got to film it. And then I start punching all my friends and just celebrating. It was beautiful. It was incredible.
First things first, Fox Sports 1 coming up today, weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, at Danny Parkins on Twitter. Appreciate you, my friend. Bear down.
Bear down, baby.
I like the Rams on Sunday. Hour one done. Oh. Hour two for you. Come on. Sorry, buddy. On the other side, Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, kicks it off next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.